Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special edition of All About Reality. We bring to you an expert unlike any that we've ever had before. As we approach the NFL draft, we're going to be talking with a real expert on actual prospects and young men whose lives are about to be changed. Goody, go ahead and introduce our guest. We are hyped this morning.
Sure. I think as a fellow Miami University alum, I'm very proud to announce former wide receiver at Miami University and Detroit Lion. Some of his accolades: played in the Senior Bowl in early 2001, seventh overall in team history with 184 receiving yards versus Eastern Michigan, 1999, even though that was on a running team led by former Cleveland Brown Travis Prentice, who had the NCAA career rushing touchdowns record at one point. Had in a game I attended and was very close to the Miami sideline, had 4 for 74 and a touchdown versus Ohio State on September 16th of 2000 versus former first round NFL pick Nate Clements in a 27-16 loss. A lot of air yards for this guy on the table too. Upset number 12 UNC as a sophomore against Dre Bly, who also was in the league for a long time. I'd like to introduce of premier athletes of South Florida, Mr. Sly Johnson.
Hello, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're so happy to have you. And we're particularly excited that a bunch of guys that you work with and help get themselves ready for the next stage of their career are people that matter a lot to our audience. They're people that are going to be winning some fantasy points and having a lot of fun. So you get to talk to us about the reality of that today. And thanks so much for coming. And Goody, there's a few guys in particular that you wanted to get us started with, so go after it.
Sure. Before we do, though, Sly, can you lay a little bit of foundation for us? So Premier Athletes of South Florida, I think, it was established in 2006. And, you know, given that you went from Miami, Florida to Miami of Ohio, basically, and you have a kind of a big fish, small pond narrative and social media. Can you explain, I guess, what you were going through when you made your decision to, you know, play wide receiver for Miami University and what your options were and how you kind of created Premier Athletes of South Florida, how it's evolved and any seminal moments along the way?
Well, Miami University, I was recruited by Aaron Cromer. I met him at a 7-on-7 type deal. We had a few of those back in our day, the Bishop and Dulligan passing camp. And that week I was on the Fort Lauderdale Dillard team. They threw the ball a lot, so I ended up on that team, and none of my other teammates came. So, and they were being recruited by Miami of Ohio. The team was being recruited by Miami of Ohio, not the team, but certain players. And since I was playing with them that week, I was a Diller player. And Aaron Cromer took a liking to me and started the recruiting process from there. I got a couple other offers later on, mostly at cornerback, defensive back. And I stuck with Miami. It was my first offer. And, you know, I like the people. I like the feel. I was a Miami guy from the beginning.
Okay, very, very nice. And then I guess after your playing career ended, what was the thought process in starting Premier Athletes and of South Florida and just how that's evolved over time?
Well, going to Miami University, I had a great coaching staff and the remnants of, and so we had the philosophies of Sean Payton, because he was there right before me. Ken Zampezi was the offensive coordinator my freshman year. Greg Seaman. They're all NFL guys now. And as I evolved to the next level, I realized that I had some pretty good teaching that, you know, I knew more than most people would. And it was because of the coaching that I had early. So I was able to have success because of those guys. And I wanted to give it back. I know how much of a difference it made in my game and how it helped me evolve as a player, the efficiency, the techniques, the attention to detail that they pride themselves on at Miami, I brought that home. And this is a place where there's no structure, but there was no structure. It was a bunch of athletes just kind of playing backyard football. Everyone was awesome, but there was no rhyme, rhythm. There was no attention to detail. There was no accountability for technique or craftsmanship, which Miami University was all about. So I figured I'd be the conduit, and try and get some of these super athletes the skill set that Miami players had. That's why we were able to beat North Carolina and compete with Ohio State at such a high level and beat Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech and beat Northwestern and Randy Walker and this great staff he had. But he had already taught us and we were older, so that was the advantage toward us. He was a great coach too. So I figured I would come home and pass out the craft. And the first kid I found was Daniel Braverman. He was undersized, not the fastest kid. He's a Jewish kid. So they're not typically NFL wide receivers.
Yeah, I certainly wasn't.
So after like one or two times working with him, I'm like, hey, you know what? You understand the concepts. You want to go to the NFL? So if you do, I can guide you there. I pretty much understand the process and how to streamline it. It's not as difficult as you think, you know? So he bought into that because he was a kid and was able to realize his dreams. You know, he got drafted by the Bears, but he was a 5'9", 175-pound Jewish kid from Western Michigan, which was another idea of mine. Sent him to the MAC, big fish, small pond, you know? So with that skill set, he was able to lead college football in yards after the catch. He, I think, was second in yards per game. He was second or third in yards per catch. He was very, very productive at the college football level and was drafted by the Chicago Bears from a MAC school as an undersized Jewish kid. So I got a buy-in from everyone else in South Florida because as he got older, I would take him around to the 7-on-7s or the scout combines or the rivals combines, and he would just destroy everyone. I mean, your A.J. Leggetts, your Tracy Howards, Artie Burns. He would really give it to them, and that created a buy-in from everyone because Daniel Braverman's beating Artie Burns on a consistent basis, you know? That helped me gain momentum here in South Florida. And I pretty much took over because there was no other football camp around. There was nothing else like it. And the results were undeniable. So in the last decade or so, if a kid came from Broward County and plays a skill position and got drafted, there's a 80% chance he's from my football camp. So the success and the productivity really help snowball the momentum here in South Florida. So we have Devin Bush is from the camp, first round pick. Damon Arnett from Ohio State. A bunch of Ohio State kids, because you know I was sending them away. Benjamin Victor's from my football camp as well. Alex Stump, he was there for a while from St. Edward's. I think he ended up at Kentucky. Johnny Dixon was also part of our camp. He's from Palm Beach, Ohio State. That may be it for now. But we've had a bunch of Big Ten players. McGarry Kings, they won the Rose Bowl at Michigan State. He was a big contributor there. Trying to think of Big Ten kids. Fayon Hicks, he's at Wisconsin. He's the cornerback, field corner. Derek Tindall, he was a four-year starter as well at Wisconsin. George Rushing, a Wisconsin player from Cardinal Gibbons. A.J., is also a receiver that plays for Wisconsin from Cardinal Gary.
Yeah, so you're doing both sides of the ball, basically, at your camps, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can just rattle those names off for a while, so I'll stop.
because we are pressed for a little bit of time, mm-hmm. I do want to talk, like, NFL draft, mm-hmm. and obviously you have a pretty big wide receiver coming through your ranks who you told me you've worked with since elementary school. So I was hoping we could kind of pivot the discussion to Elijah Moore, who's mm-hmm. being mocked in late first or early second by many draft experts. I saw one of the recent ones I saw, Lance Zierlein, had him going to the Saints, I think, around 28. I know his former college teammate, A.J. Brown, is standing for the Titans to grab him, I think, either at 22 or 24. I'm not sure which pick the Titans have. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about Elijah Moore and working with him at a young age, like what traits you saw in him early to know that he had this potential it factor, and then we can talk a little bit more about his route tree and everything else.
Well, we did some, there's some in the life of Elijah Moore things being done by ESPN, I believe. And so I was on there with him yesterday, and the main thing he said was, after the skill set, of course, was the ability for me to get it through his brain. I didn't want to say brainwash, but convince him of the programming, and of the only one that could eliminate himself from the process would be himself. So the skill set is like a martial art. It's like once you understand it, you're pretty much unstoppable. And a lot of other people have learned it, but they didn't have the likability that he has, the ability to be coached, the ability to be a good person, to be honest. So I told him that he has to be a good person and not eliminate himself from the process, and he would realize his dreams, that the only one that could ever stop Elijah was Elijah. I've told him every single conversation since ninth grade. He makes me say it if I forget. Coach, you can't get off the phone until you say it. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. No one can stop Elijah but Elijah. So I figured this out early because of his skill set, his ability to process all this information and then execute it. There's adults that can't do it, and he figured that out as a 12 and 13-year-old. So I pretty much knew that the only thing that could stop him was him being cocky or getting in trouble, or, you know, the normal things that kids use to eliminate themselves, the self-inflicted wounds, pretty much. So if he didn't have any self-inflicted wounds, the craft and the skill set that he had would always be the shining star when you spoke about Elijah. So right now, we're talking about Elijah, and you said his routes, and we're talking about football. And that was the goal. That was the goal, to make sure that there was nothing else to speak on when it came to Elijah except for football. That means no question about your work ethic, no question about off-the-field issues, no questions about, is he a guy that we're willing to give millions of dollars to? So he understood that concept very early, and that's why I say he was one that was going to make it.
You know, Sly, it's wonderful that you speak to that. A lot of people have talked about how this year in particular, that kids like him are the ones that organizations are going to invest in because they have worked at their craft, because they do have no other factors that they're working into. And there's nothing casual anymore about what you do. But now there's nothing casual about being a fan. And people like Elijah Moore and Michael Carter, Javion Hawkins, Jared Patterson, these are names that our listeners care about, and they're rooting for them to succeed in the pros. When you see this and when you get to this point, is there any specific element of the craft that you think is they have to kind of win as part of the process?
Not eliminating themselves, being a quality person, being a quality human being. That's a major, major fact. There's a lot of good football players. There's not that many good people. So the organization, your teammates, a lot of people around you have to want to see you succeed for it to work. This starts in college. Your head coach has to like you. The OC has to like you. Your teammates have to like you. And to get the buy-in from everyone you come in contact with is the most important part. People really don't understand that concept. So Jared Patterson, he's from Buffalo. I'm a MAC guy, a Miami of Ohio guy. And so the first thing I said is, you scored a bunch of touchdowns. I hope they weren't against my school. Oh no, coach, I wouldn't do that. Of course he did that. But the way that he answered the question lets you know that people around him will want to see him do well. The GM will want to see him do well. His teammates will want to see him do well. He has the natural ability, and I've taught him the skill set that would make his skill set, I mean, that makes his athleticism the most efficient. So everyone has a little different thing that makes them unique, obviously. Everyone has something that makes them excel. There you go. That's what I'm looking for. And Jared is a 0 to 60 guy. very quickly. He can reach top end speed at the drop of a dime. So with that being said, he'll be able to have bursty plays, you know? There's not really many long touchdowns in the NFL anymore because everyone's so fast. So him being a burster will allow him to have, you know, consistent production. So I'm thinking, you know, a 6+ yard per carry guy. May not get a bunch of carries, but I think his average will be high, and they can use him in the passing game now, thanks to me. So he'll be a person that can he'll make plays on third down, and he'll be a consistent small chunker, maybe 7 yards, 8 yards here, 9 yards there. Maybe not a home run hitter in the next level, but definitely a productive, consistent player. He's a good person, and his people around him will want him to do well.
Well, Goody, I'm going to turn this over to you. Sly, I appreciate you so much. I got to go speaking to this. The teacher in me is so happy to hear you talk about building the character of these young men. Like I said, we are pulling for them and for your success too. Like, it's really awesome to hear someone that took what they wanted to do and crafted it into a thing that changes the lives of others. Appreciate you coming out this morning. I'm going to have these kids tabbed and highlighted when they come through, and really appreciate your time. Goody, I can't wait to hear what you do with the rest of this. And I got to get back in the classroom now, folks.
You're leaving in good hands. Sly and I will continue here for a few minutes and have a good rest of your day.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
All right, okay. Have a good one.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, Sly, it's just two Miami guys at this point.
Love and honor.
Yeah, so for sure, love and honor. I see rocking the shorts in the workout videos that you post on social media. So that's always good. You look like you can still play, which is good, which is pretty good, because like I said, in that Ohio State game, there were plenty of air yards left there. I think there was one misconnection deep that I think would have been for six. But it was a great game. Let's talk a little bit about Michael Carter. I think a lot of folks in, to give you some context, Reality Sports Online, which we talked about, is the podcast we host for, is basically a league that's like a NFL GM experience. And we have players on rookie contracts, which are typically cheaper on the NFL rookie wage scale. So you hit on one of those contracts, it gives you a lot of flexibility to chase bigger. You know, it's kind of like when like the Cowboys drafted Dak Prescott and they're paying him, you know, less than $1 million a year, and they can spend all the money on other pieces. Same with like the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. So you get a guy like Michael Carter, say, who projects maybe as a second round rookie pick in these leagues at, you know, $1.5 million a year for 4 years. And if Michael Carter turns in that comp, I've seen some Michael Carter on Roto Underworld, which is a popular site in the community, is Devontae Freeman, you know, another Florida guy.
Devontae.
And I think I see some similarities maybe to Nyheim Hines in certain ways. And I'm just kind of curious if you want to talk to me about his skill set and something, maybe like Javon Hawkins and some of the other guys you're working with. I know you got a wide receiver from Charleston who is pretty big physical beast and you know, pretty big tight end too, and Zach Davidson. So let's hear a little more about some of the guys that you've been working with for the draft.
Okay. Well, I'm a receiver by nature, same as Ed McCaffrey, who has a son named Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
You see the skill set that Christian McCaffrey has? That's the same exact skill set that I teach. If I had to say which kid looks like he's been in my camp his entire life, I would say that I've never met. I would say Christian McCaffrey looks like he's been in my camp his entire life. So. Mm-hmm. It's a Reggie Bush's skill set. It's a Christian McCaffrey skill set. It's a Marshall Faulk skill set. So with Javion, with Jake Funk from Maryland, those guys, and Jarrett Patterson from Buffalo, those guys were more ball carriers, you know? All of them are ball carriers because they're running backs. But when I say ball carriers, I mean they had less range when I met them. Now they're more versatile. So in your league, they is it yards league? Is it carries? How does this work? Just production?
Oh yeah, and these leagues, they get a lot of these leagues. You get a point for every catch you have, so even first downs, things like that. So the receiving running backs are uber valuable.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, the receiver running back skill set is the one that I teach, so it would have production on pretty much any team. Get on these phone calls. Hawk as well. He was more of a ball carrier, and now we've added that out the backfield skill set makes him more of a third down asset, along with their first down, second down skills that they came with. So we're broadening them and making them more complete player. If I can make every running back look like Christian McCaffrey, that would be my goal.
Yeah, no, and there'd be some diamonds in the rough for our fantasy GMs if some of these guys, if JVN Hawkins and Jared Patterson and whatnot, especially at the draft capital that folks would be using them on, you know, I guess with that is, if you thought about with some of these players that you've been training and what ideal landing spots are, are you just happy for them to be in the league and figure that whoever's investing the capital in these guys is like where they want to be?
The goal was to make them versatile enough that they fit in any system where it didn't matter. I mean, you always want the perfect scenario. Right. Where I want to make sure that there was no scenario that they couldn't survive in. So Deion Jackson, I'm sorry, running back from Duke. He's a 4'3 kid with great size, and he was pretty one-dimensional at Duke. But he has a receiver skill set that is comparable to, you know, most young receivers in the NFL. Yeah. So that might be a good pick for you right there, Deion Jackson, Duke, along with your Jake Funk, along with Javion Hawkins, because they're going to have similar skill sets. I'm not exactly sure what pick they're rated at, because I really don't keep up with that kind of stuff. I don't want to get biased. But those are the guys that stand out from the guys I dealt with. Okay. And Zach Davison, and there's a tight end named Kerry Angeline from NC State. Both of those are longer body, 6'7" guys, tight ends that should do very, very well. Along with Tommy Trimble from Notre Dame. Okay. He's I think he's a second or third round pick right now. Only reason I know that is because before I start working with him, I try to see what their deficiencies are. And so it said he was a run blocker, you know, and he was already a draft pick as a run blocker. But on his pro day, you can see that he wowed them with his routes and his ability to get in and out of breaks and the authority that he caught the ball with. So now they're looking at him as a complete tight end. And I just went to Atlanta and worked with him not too long ago. And he's had meetings with several teams that seem very, very interesting. So,
okay. Yeah. That'll make for a fun day two, I think. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I think that's what's interesting in space, that Luke's going to be sad that he's a big Notre Dame fan. He's going to be sad that he had to hop off when you started talking up a Notre Dame player. So he'll listen back to this and see. Yeah, and Zach Davidson is somebody, a small school guy from out of Central Missouri, also punted for the team.
Yes.
That our own we have a kind of a Devy analyst named Bob Cowper, who's on paternity leave right now. Otherwise, he would be on this conversation with you as well, Sly. That, you know, Bob was on to Zach Davidson. Like, he wrote him up, I think, early last year. And wow. I mean, one of the hard parts is like that, you know, with COVID-19, that some of these guys didn't get a ton of work last year in games. I think Jake Funk in Maryland, I think I've read he played four games because Maryland had the COVID outbreak and whatnot. Yep. So I'm sure everything that you're doing with him is accretive for building that skill set. And then you obviously as a former college receiver, let's talk a little bit. You did work with some guys in the at the receiver position in preparation for the NFL draft. So why don't we talk about, you know, any of those guys? I know you got the guy from Charleston who, you know, 6'5". Let's talk about him for a second.
Michael Strong, he's the first thing I asked him was how'd you end up there? And then I hear his accents. Oh, they don't recruit the Bahamas. Oh, he's from the Bahamas. No wonder, you know?
Yeah.
There's no way this kid doesn't play for Alabama or Clemson or something like that. He looks like someone drew him. He's like 6'5", runs a 4.4, jumps through the ceiling, and is at Charleston. And I couldn't figure that out until he told me that he's originally from the Bahamas, and he was a track guy. He was on. Supposed to be in the Olympics to represent Bahamas, but chose to play college football. So there you have it. You got a world-class athlete from a Division II school who has a skill set that I kind of pride myself on. So that's the makings of a perfect storm there. Michael Strong, Charleston, West Virginia, I believe is the college.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's a diamond in the rough right there.
Right. I guess let's talk like two more questions because I know you're pressed for time. So let's go back to Elijah Moore for a quick second. And, and when I was talking about routes about Elijah Moore, our former guest from Yahoo Sports, who does a nice little review of college tape called Reception Perception and looks at success by route and the route tree percentage and things like that. It's Matt Harmon. And I talked to Matt before, you know, we had you on and got his permission to, I think I sent you his success by route in 2020 and everything else. And you don't break like the Ole Miss single season reception record with, you know, just on a whim. Like you have to be able to run routes. So I think that's something you've probably worked with Elijah Moore on a lot. But the success, like if we're talking about the route tree, I mean, we're looking success on rates, slants, 82.6%, curls, 81.8%, digs, 79.5%. I mean, over 70% on the 9 route, which, you know, something I know you were really good at in college. You got the post, 66.7%, comebacks, 87.5%. Like, I don't think there's anything this guy can't do. Like, do you think in the NFL he's going to play like that slot and just take advantage of that slot corner? You think he can play everywhere? Is there a ideal landing spot that you think he'd fit in best with a certain quarterback or scheme?
He was taught by me I'm an older guy, so we didn't have the slot receiver. I didn't exist when I, so I didn't teach him as a slot receiver. I just taught him how to play receiver, and the world made up the slot receiver. The world looks at you and say, you're 5'9", 185, you play slot. But that's the world. The team doesn't do that. He played the X receiver at Ole Miss a lot of the times. And they in college, they put you in the slot to create mismatches. Because no one usually, the best corner cover-wise, not usually the best corner tackling-wise. It's hard to find that. Unless he's a Damon Arnett.
All the Ohio State DBs can tackle. I think that's something that's been separating them for years.
Yes. So with that being said, once you put them in a slot, you usually get a better tackler because you got them in the box. And in college, Lane Kiffin was brighter than – I'm not going to say that. Lane Kiffin always put Elijah in a situation where he was going to win. I got that. He got that, you know?
Yeah.
And if the team has to do that, then they'll be fine wherever they put him, to be honest, because he's the outside receiver. That's the outside skill set he was taught, and everyone just puts him in the slot. So I guess he's a slot receiver then.
Yeah.
I said that sarcastically because there's no such thing in our football world. That's
right.
That's a thing that we kind of take offense to. You're a slot guy. That means you're physically profiling me when you say that.
Yeah, that's true. And then it's something like you said. What I mean more is like whether like the win percentage if you move somebody inside versus outside. But when you hear like, you know, the name Steve Smith thrown out as a guy that Elijah Moore reminds a lot of people of.
He's an X.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just, you know, that's just winning all over the place and, you know, and then telling you to ice up, son, afterwards. So that's the kind of player that I gravitate towards.
Same skill set was taught. Steve Smith, Antonio Brown, Elijah, they all have the same exact skill set and they all do well outside.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, in the fantasy community, he's just garnering so much attention right now. I almost want to put this podcast on ice for a week to get through my own drafts, but like I have a responsibility to kind of share good information. And like, obviously you and I have a little bit of a relationship over social media. So I'm thrilled to have you on. Let's wrap this with, we do some of our most extreme leagues have a Devy element to it where college players, you have options to pick these guys before they're even in the NFL or based on, you know, you have the quote unquote rights to a guy. So I know you work with, you know, besides working with guys in preparation for the draft, you're seeing a lot of these players in South Florida, you know, from a pretty early age, middle school, et cetera. So is there anyone you want to talk about in particular, like in your pipeline, like from a, like who's in college or whatever? I know you have a pretty good receiver at the U right now. Or anybody else that you wanted to talk about that maybe should be on the radar of most of our Reality Sports Online GMs. And then I'll thank you for your time and tell you to have a great day until the next time we talk.
Kevin Austin, he's a receiver at Notre Dame.
Okay.
He's a 6'2 kid, 215 pounds, runs a 4.4. Looks like a creative player. Yep, he has the same skill set. Hasn't had the opportunity and a few injuries with Coach Kelly over there.
Yeah.
But I speak to Tommy about him all the time. Tommy's the Notre Dame tight end. So
yeah, right.
We like Kevin Austin. We like Jakor Pearson. He's a receiver. He was at Western Kentucky. He transferred to Ole Miss with Kiffin. Okay. And has the same skill set as Elijah. They're all friends. They're all from my camp. So okay. Wink wink on that one. He should do well.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Green, he's a receiver at New Mexico State or New Mexico Lobos, I'm not sure.
Okay.
His name is Emmanuel Green. He was a 4-star out of high school. He had an Ohio State offer, UM offer, Florida Gators, and he went to UCF and is now at New Mexico. Xavier Restrepo, he's a receiver at the University of Miami. That's the one you mentioned.
Right. He had a really good spring game, if I recall.
Yes. He had like 160 yards and 2 touchdowns, something like that.
Yeah. He's only a sophomore, right?
Correct. I think he gets to be a freshman again because of the COVID deal.
Okay.
So who knows? There's a Brandon Mincy. He's at Southeast Missouri, SEMO. He plays linebacker. Oh, he plays linebacker though, so you guys don't really.
Well, we have some leagues that have individual defensive players, so it's always good.
Okay.
Like this is whatever our GMs want it to be, basically. So it's fully customizable. So that's helpful too.
Okay. Trayvon Grimes comes out this year. He should make plays. He's a vertical stretcher.
Okay.
Yeah, he was an Ohio State guy as well. He went to the Gators after that and to do well.
Yeah.
Anthony Schwartz from Auburn, he comes out this year.
Right. He's got a track background, right? I think he's fast.
Yeah. His mom went to high school with me, so he's been in the camp too for quite some time.
Yeah.
He has a top end speed. He can take the top off. And that's pretty much my college guys. I think Anthony coming out this year, though, right?
Right, yeah, Anthony's coming out this year. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting. These are the type of names that, like, I want, like, our folks to be looking for. And, you know, I mean, hopefully as early as day two. I mean, Elijah, like we said, maybe, you know, I think at this point there's enough smoke there. Hopefully day one for him.
Well, I'll be there.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah, you'll be back in Ohio in my hometown of Cleveland. So I got some friends. I got some friends. friends coming. I don't think my Browns are in the market for receiver in round one, but you know, if Elijah Moore happened to be a Cleveland Brown, I would not be upset from a fan standpoint.
But I have Anthony Walker that plays that you guys just got from the Colts, the linebacker.
Yeah, I know that was a big pickup for us, kind of an underrated signing. So
underrated, very underrated. And also, I'm sorry, trained David Njoku.
Yeah, nice. So, yeah, Sly, like you're clearly giving back and making an impact on these kids, and like I know some of them end up at a bigger school, some of them end up at smaller schools, but like I think that the mentality you're instilling in these young minds to play have the love of the game and to advance their skill set to the next level is amazing. So kudos to everything, like all you do, and for representing Miami University so well as well. So I wish you all the best. I'll try to check out that piece on ESPN. Can you tell our listeners again what it was called?
I'm not sure, but it's an Elijah Moore, I guess like a day in the life of Elijah Moore.
Okay. We'll be looking for that tomorrow night, and we'll have this podcast up soon. We'll get it up on Twitter. And Sly, thank you so much for everything again, and just being somebody who's been super responsive to me and, you know, kind of furthering, even though I don't work in journalism, like when I covered like Miami football and basketball for, you know, the paper there when I was there, I still have, you know, it's still my passion, my hobby. So it's manifested in this podcast. And I'm grateful for people like you for coming on and making it a better place.
Thank you. I appreciate for having me.
All right. Thank you so much, Sly.
All right. Yeah, we go.
Once again, this is All About Reality with Sly Johnson.
All right. Love and honor.
All right. Love and honor. Thank you.
Yep.